Well, we're gonna talk about some weddings. We're gonna talk about weddings. It's, you know, not that we need a segue, but we're gonna talk about weddings. It is June. It is
June. We just celebrated our 20-year wedding anniversary.
Dun, 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 dun. That's beautiful. Congratulations.
That's right, bitches. That is Felix Mendelssohn, okay? German motherfucker that composed that wedding march for a Shakespeare play. I believe he wrote that, he composed that when he was 17 years old. What the fuck were you doing when you were 17 years old, huh?
Wow.
17 years old, this fuck. I was learning how to fucking grind crack rocks when I was 17. You know, how to like roast banana peels and shit. So yeah, we just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary.
That's right.
Rosemary and I, Rosemary Rodriguez and I. We went to Anguilla.
Oh, wow.
And we went to Miami Beach.
Oh,
Miami Beach is where we first got married. We went to the hotel. Well, we went to the exact same spot where we were married.
Well, we argued about where it was.
No.
Really?
Yeah, we kind of argued, and then we decided we'd compromise and stand in a different spot.
We were in front of the Penguin Hotel.
Here we go.
On
See?
Ocean Drive. we were just debating whether we were in between these palm trees or we were over here.
Ah.
And the guy who decorated and put the wedding together, Johnny Hardesty, may he rest in peace, real sweet man, I just kind of know that he would. I was just going by where the position of where I was when I was waiting for her to walk up to, you know, the makeshift walkway where it would have been. So
is this where you guys first met, or you guys?
Well, we met in Miami.
Okay,
that's where we actually got married,
and we got married there in front of the Penguin Hotel. So it was kind of bittersweet.
And then we went into the lobby where we had the reception.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
The guy who owned the hotel at the time was a justice of the peace.
Oh.
So he let us use the lobby for our reception, and he married us.
Right.
Also, like on the beach there,
Drew.
So we went back,
Drew.
Yeah, Drew.
That is so cool. To
the scene of the crime.
Yeah, totally cool.
So and whose idea was it to go back 20 years later?
What do you think? Guess. Come on.
It was your idea.
Yeah, it was my idea.
That's very
you
romantic.
You were supposed to say his.
That's very romantic.
That's
you always
say the ladies.
That's so girly. Fuck that. All right.
That's, you know what?
He was supposed to say you.
Bullshit.
Oh, no,
that was a collaboration. That was a collaboration. You know how it is when you have a milestone. You've been married before, right? I asked you if you were married.
Right.
You're married. You have a. You say, you know, it's our 20th wedding anniversary. It's coming up. What do you want to do? I mean, you know, that's a pretty big number, right?
Right.
I'm fucking Puerto Rican. You know what I mean? I don't know too many people that are married fucking 5 years, let alone 20. You know what I'm saying?
That's big time. In this business,
especially in the way our fucking life works. I mean, she's gone for months at a time. It's a crazy dynamic. So we discussed the possibility of going to Miami. And also, we had gone to Anguilla for our 5th wedding anniversary. So we decided, man, let's check that out. So that's basically
You can't go directly from LA to Anguilla. So you have to sort of stop over in Miami anyway.
Right.
And
okay.
It's a long flight. So it's like, all right, let's just make a thing of it there.
Yeah.
And then we went to Anguilla, which is a beautiful island. Big up to Anguilla. Come on now.
Big up to the Cap Gianluca Resort. Yeah, Anguilla. Anguilla's a majestic place. You've been to the Caribbean?
I've never been to Anguilla.
You've never been to the Caribbean?
Oh, yes, I've been to the Caribbean.
You've been to the Caribbean.
Yes.
Anguilla's the best.
Anguilla is, you fly into St. Martin.
Okay, I've been to St. Martin.
Which is French and Dutch.
Yeah.
And you take the ferry from St. Martin to Anguilla.
Okay.
Or you can go to St. Bart's.
Okay.
But you want to go to Anguilla.
Anguilla.
You know what's beautiful about going to a place like that? First of all, I want to go back to the Penguin Hotel. But what's beautiful, the first time I went to Anguilla was one of the first times I ever been to one place where it was all black. Everybody was black.
Wow.
Okay? Every fucking body in the island is black. They're serving you. They're picking you up at everything. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a black-run island. You know what I'm saying? Low crime. Everything is expensive. Everything has to be imported. They don't make nothing in that motherfucker.
Oh, so it's just really expensive.
All you see is goats laying around all over the place. Everything else got to be imported. So the interesting thing about that place is that since you're paying top dollar, for instance, for a dinner, it's not just a bullshit dinner, right? You're already paying because it's imported. It's like a five-star dinner.
Wow.
Every dinner is a fucking five-star dinner. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting place. I think 30 beaches. You just you drive
beaches.
How many?
33. Yeah.
You the first time we went when fifth wedding anniversary, we drove around the perimeter. Oh shit! Let me see that beach. Even though it's a little nook, let's go in there. Beautiful stuff. Anyway, so back to Miami, the Penguin Hotel. We go in there into the lobby, and I'm a little bit kind of bittersweet about Miami because a lot of the people we knew passed away.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I mean? A lot of the guy, Johnny, who's a friend of hers, Mark, who employed her. I met her in 1992, you know, in South Beach, right before Hurricane Andrew hit. We kept in touch. And anyway, long story short, we saw each other, I think, five times before we got married
Yeah, we never lived in the same state.
Right.
And we never spent more than a few days together.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, that's that Puerto Rican. Yeah, that's that Puerto Rican
that's that
sauce.
Fire.
That's insane.
That's that Puerto Rican science.
That's that
yeah.
sauce. Right?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Big up to all your married motherfuckers. Yeah. My man Nick. Nick loves what Nick. Yo. Soundboard engineer, motherfucker. Nick loves when I give him the air horn. Right, Nick? What's up, baby?
I just got to make sure it ain't
too loud.
Too loud, because it's pretty loud always.
It's pretty loud always.
All good, though. All
yeah. I love that air horn. Sometimes I'm sleeping and I fucking hear that shit. I swear to God. When I was in Anguilla for 10 days, I was like, where's my air horn button? It was just crazy. But
you know, I did my own little when I was reading stuff to be on the show,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I was wondering about is why people get married in June, because I know you're going to talk about
how much they cost. Yeah.
So did you know that Juno is the Roman goddess of marriage?
I did not know that.
And that people thought that if they got married then in June, that she would bring prosperity and happiness to everyone who wed.
Wow.
June. And also, the other thing is...
Big up to Juno, you fucking whore!
This is another interesting thing, is that during the 1400s and 1500s, June was considered the time when people came outdoors after a long winter and bathed communally.
Nice.
So people used to only take baths once or twice a year. Right. So they did that in June. And I guess when to marry, it would be a good idea then if you were actually clean... And you took your bath, and then you would get with somebody. So I thought that was kind of interesting, too.
Interesting.
Once a year.
Throwing that up.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on this smelly motherfuckers.
Exactly. That's what I did.
By the end of the summer, you're already fucking nasty. I can't imagine by December you... Fucking stinky motherfuckers.
Well, this is
all cooped up in the same house the beginning of the summer.
Once a year?
You do it at the beginning of the summer. That's right. That's what my research is telling me.
You're walking into another dimension.
Wow.
A dimension of stank ass and unwashed hair. You've been sleeping for 9 months. You smell like shit. You wake up on a beach. Oh, my God.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance.
You're moving into a land of both
actually,
and disgust.
Let me just clarify and correct you, if I may, hun.
Hun?
Yes, hun.
Sure.
It's not once a year. It's for the first time of the year that they've come out to take a bath. Trust me. From that day that they come out, I'm taking a bath until it's fucking dark again. Until it's time for me to hibernate. You follow? So June, July, August, September, there's a lot of bathing going on.
Those are the bathing months.
Right. Those
That's
are the
not
bathing
months. That's well, not what I read.
Do you mean they fucking bathe once and then they go hide out?
They only bathe one time a year.
Yeah.
That's why they created
once
the perfumes and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And where was this?
Free
this in,
shower.
What country was this? This is in general?
No, this is in Europe.
Yeah, 1400.
Oh, because I know cologne was invented in Germany.
My ass starts smelling after a day. I just couldn't. Seriously.
After a day?
Just one day, man. Seriously.
Dude, let me just explain something to you. No, seriously.
Yeah, I admitted that, but come on.
No, let me explain to you. When you're young, maybe after a day, once you hit a certain age, you've wiped your ass so many times that it's like, you need a few baths. You understand what I'm saying?
During the day.
Sure, at different times of the week, I need a couple of fucking baths.
But I think this is a practical matter. And getting back to economics too, because you get together in the spring, in June, you get pregnant. By the next spring, when things are going to start growing and you need, right. You know, that's when like the kid comes.
You can bathe
and then
again.
You can start working also again.
And you can bathe the motherfucker.
A lot of it is time.
Because you remember.
Practical issues.
No, because you remember,
romance.
This is the 14 and 1500s. Yes. Master P wasn't around.
Yeah, but
so you couldn't call Master P to bring in some water. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's really some sick shit, though, because there was no scarcity of water. Like, there's lakes all over the fucking place.
No.
Why not just run and dive
just
in?
Walk, yeah, exactly. Seriously.
I think it's cold all winter.
How are
they going to heat their water?
I mean, you see all those fucking traditions where people run and jump into the ice all the time. And
I don't think they were doing that in Italy and France. And I think they were doing that up further north.
Doing it in Jersey.
Where they're used to it. They weren't doing it there.
Well, no, I mean, all I can say is thank you, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Allah. Thank you, the Master. The all-knowing, the father and mother of the sky, thank you for letting me be born in 1960. I'm not going to tell you what year, but thank you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I am so fucking glad, because I watched the Titanic, right? And I, whenever I watch those period movies, I'm thinking, I know the acting is amazing, the dialogue is great, the set design is beautiful, the story is impeccable, but all I keep thinking about is that motherfucker stinks. Right. I know it.
I'm the same way.
And the women have
Axe body spray,
dude. Right. And the women are wearing layers and shit, bustiers and shit. Layers and layers. Could you imagine the
everybody's
funk?
Smoking.
Nasty.
Oh,
she gets naked on that couch while he's painting his eyes are watering.
Yo, there's no fucking. Toothpaste. There's no mouthwash.
You have to remember, even when my parents grew up, they had outhouses in the back.
Right.
I had an outhouse in Puerto Rico.
And my mother talked about they would fill up a tub, and then there was 10 kids that she grew up with, and they all took turns getting in the
same
bathtub.
Right.
Yeah. Now you wonder, why would they be in the same bathtub? I don't know, but that's how they did it, because they didn't
that's
have
it. Was.
They
that's what it's saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater comes from. Because by the time the baby would get washed, the water would be so dark that you could forget that the baby's in there.
Right.
Yep.
And that's where that term comes from.
Right.
Because it was all an age. The oldest took the bath first, all the way down to the youngest.
Right, because the oldest motherfucker. No, because the oldest motherfucker.
You don't want to start off with the greasy pan. You want to start off with like the silverware and the dishes.
Right. No.
No,
there's an economic
shit backwards.
There's an economic law for that also. The reason being is that you start with the older person because the motherfucker may die like in the next 5 minutes. So you clean his ass. So if he dies, you just like butter him up and fucking put him for viewing. You see what I'm saying? As far as the baby and 10 kids being washed in the same tub, you got to remember, water, there was no pipes. So it's not like you can go and fucking refill the thing like 10 blocks. I mean, you got to walk. And you got
to
fill the thing.
But you have to heat the water up
on
the stove.
And you got
to
heat it up.
Heat it up on the stove, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. You know, Master P fucking yelling for water because he wants to be fucking Rand with fucking sprinkles in a fucking music video. You know what I mean? Now it all comes together.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Full circle.
He's giving an ode to his forefathers that weren't able to do that. You see what I'm saying? So subliminally, Master P is saying, fuck you.
Oh,
I can do
you
it.
Know what
I'm a gangster rapper. Yes, there's no water for gangster rappers, but guess what? I'm doing this in the name of my motherfucking fathers, my grandfather. fathers and never could take a bath.
Yeah, well, he didn't know he was doing it that
way. What?
He just wanted a flash dance.
That's called reconstruction, right?
He saw flash dance one too many times. He saw her pull that rope.
We know that was driving him genetically, right? But there's no consciousness in that. That's hilarious.
So anyway, yeah, Wes.
He's going to be rolling to my house saying, I heard that fucking interview you said.
Yeah. Well, tell him. 1-800-893-9562. We could use some pee money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. So, all right. So we're talking about weddings. There's an amazing article of what weddings cost today. Okay? So I'm going to read some of this shit. When I'm talking too much, cut me off, all right? So, an astounding amount is what weddings cost today. Last year, the average American wedding, including the requisite reception, cost $28,427, okay? In affluent areas, the cost is even higher. In Boston, the average price of a wedding is $39,239, all right? In Santa Barbara, California, it's $42,319. And in Manhattan, that's NY motherfucking C, is $76,687.
That's ridiculous.
I ain't never getting married.
Oh. No, seriously, this is the shit. Ridiculous. This is the shit that's going on. So, I mean, we were in Anguilla. We saw a young couple that were getting married. An African-American or an Anguillan, we found out he was from the States, so he's an African-American, and he had come to Anguilla. And so he's the black guy, and she's the lighter-skinned chick. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on and shit. You know what I mean? They're married. The first couple of days, they're having breakfast. We're next to each... You know, we're sitting next to the table. I just turn around. It's them. Do I say congrats? Fuck it. I'm with my wife. I'm not going to say nothing. About 4 days later, I see the brother walking on the beach by himself, looking like a sad sack of shit. I said, there it is. She just started her shit.
The reality.
He's walking up and down the beach. The only black, he's fucking walking down the beach with a headset on. I felt like going, dude, ain't that bad. Go in there, make up. And so the thing is, all the money that people spend on weddings, it's unbelievable. So how do we get to this point? Very simple. For people of means, weddings have always been an occasion for an extravagant display of wealth. But as far back as the 1920s, the rising American middle class sought to establish its status by imitating the high society white wedding. Chicago retailer Marshall Fields published the first bridal registry in 1924. Bride's magazine debuted in 1934, and after World War II, the boom in marriages kicked the wedding industry into high gear. But in the 1960s and 70s, many young couples steeped in countercultural disdain for displays of wealth and status chose simpler ceremonies. Then, dun dun dun, in 1981, the lavish wedding came roaring back. Two words, Princess Diana. Mm. Okay? Now, that's the thing. Said Carol McDee Wallace, author of All Dressed in White, The Irresistible Rise of the American Wedding. The young ingenue's storybook wedding to Prince Charles, which featured a glass coach, a 25-foot bridal train, and an estimated 750 million television viewers, you should have directed this shit, does it, Leslie, made such a global impression that millions of people began aspiring to their own fairy tale weddings. Within a decade, said Wallace, there was this arms race quality to it. All right? And so the article goes on to say, why is it so important and all this other bullshit? And and it also goes on to say... Well, here's the...
Let me ask you a question before...
Go ahead.
Does it say what the divorce rate is?
Of course not. What it should say...
The divorce rate in America...
Yeah, they go in there about... Yeah.
We have one of the highest divorce rates. It's over 50%.
In the ultimate ostentation, it says ostentation.
Right.
You want to read that?
Well, you want to look at it? At the end,
sorry.
It talks about, of course... What has happened not too long ago, which is the August 2011 nuptials between reality TV queen Kim Kardashian
and
NBA star Chris Humphries cost an estimated $10 million. And then, of course, it lasted just 72 days.
Absolutely.
I think that's kind of a good test, though. If the wedding, if you have to spend so much money on a wedding and all of that, I mean, it kind of says something about the couple themselves. It's, you know, I mean, if you could just get married with, you know, what's important are you, you know, the two people,
right?
And if you're going to just blow $30,000-$50,000, the mentality is a little different. It's a little more materialistic. It's a little less about the actual romance and the actual, you know, relationship. And it's just, how do we look for our friends, or how is it going to feel? Because, you know, you try to make it like the royal weddings and all of that, but it's not going to be anywhere near that. So don't even try to, you know, pretend, because, you know, you're going back to the VFW and you like try and make it all nice and you know, you're putting sparklers up or whatever the fuck you're doing.
I think that's the point. I think that people lose sight of the important thing. I think that people think that spending all this money, it's gonna help you. On some level. I mean,
it's like an investment into their marriage or something? Because that's what it kind of entails.
My perspective is that, you know, like for me, I'm thinking, if I'm sitting here looking at a woman and I'm married and she has all of this stuff on, the only thing I would be thinking about is, when can I get her out of that shit?
Right. So we're getting married in a bikini.
Shit is like, yo, this is just so really in the fucking way.
So you're
like,
talking about getting married in Anguilla.
If I love her that much to marry her.
Right.
So you're talking about getting married in Anguilla.
Absolutely. Like,
with a G-string.
You know, with a G-string, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. You know, on a private beach, you know what I mean? You know.
Well, that was the idea we had.
We'll tape the motherfucker giving us the vows, right?
Yeah.
I don't even want him there.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. I think a lot of it is perpetuated, you know, by the media and by this image, this sort of Princess Diana thing. It's interesting that it says that, because she kind of taps into this weird storybook fantasy.
The fairy tale, like, white wedding.
What the perfect woman is, right, and what the perfect, like, path,
yeah,
to being a wife is.
Yeah, but none of those people are happy, though.
No, but that's the key. What I was going to say, because when we go to weddings, I don't even want to go to weddings anymore. No, but when we go to weddings,
neither. I hate going
to
weddings.
The only weddings that I have had a good time at is when the bride and groom are having a great time.
Right.
And that's very few people.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, I can actually think of just two weddings in all the weddings I've ever been to.
Or three.
Where they were having a blast.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody else.
I got three.
Is miserable.
I got three. Your nephew, Brian and Deb Delaney.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Bonnie and Vince.
And Ruperto and Mai.
Oh, yeah.
And
three.
Ruperto.
You're right,
three weddings.
Three
weddings.
Yep.
All right. All the other people we went to their weddings.
You didn't seem happy at all.
No. You are.
No, because
you
we would. No, because
did
we
not
would.
Seem happy, but
no, because
know,
we would. I don't like weddings. Right. I hate weddings. Well, I hate I hate the bad DJ, the bullshit food. I just hate it. But those three weddings stuck out.
It bothers me a lot, because I really think it taps into this idea of what our fantasies are.
Right.
And, like, we didn't have a big wedding, but me, no. I'm, like, a strong female. I don't live, like, by these stereotypes. I didn't want this wedding, but they're still...
Rosemary, strong woman, blonde hair, white chick, goes into Miami Beach, starts kicking coconuts out of Nestor's hands, invents the Cuba Libre, and then becomes mojitos, gets some fried plantains and some collard greens.
Is he strong?
Oh, man. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, there still lives inside this moment where it's like, wait, but he never got down on his knees.
Me?
And asked me. I swear to God, I'm being brutally honest, even though it's embarrassing.
Hold on, could you rewind that?
Oh, it's done. Go,
no.
Go play when you think.
No, so you said.
There's one of your buttons over there. Uh-oh.
My God. No.
She just, like, bought a fucking bus company in here.
She just showed you what a strong woman says right there. Just go play with one of your buttons.
Too many times when
that's on you, right?
No, actually, the thing about our wedding that was interesting, all jokes aside, is we met, and I don't know, it was just fucking bizarre how you know you meet someone and you have this connection, right? And it never dawned on me to get on my knees, because I always thought of that as a cliched thing, you know,
it
you
is.
Get on your knees,
it is,
and oh look, hon. you know, on top of the blimp in the sky. You know what I mean?
It is.
It was one of those things where I was like, you know, it was logical. You know, I love you. You love me. I think that we need to be together in the same place, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But somebody mentioned something about Rich. I think you mentioned something about being happy. I think that this is the biggest misconception and the biggest problem, that weddings, be they fairy tale weddings, be they fucking project community center fucking weddings, I think that the misconception is that being married is going to make you happy.
Right.
That getting married is going to make you happy. Right. That's the misconception. Because, like anything in life, as you know, making this film may not make you happy.
No.
Getting that car may not make you happy. It's the same principle. People get married thinking that she's going to make me happy. He's going to make me happy. Now, this is where the problem comes in. That when you come to the realization that that thing isn't making you happy, then the real work sets in, right?
I agree with you. I mean, because marriage is symbolic.
Right.
And there is no truth in symbols, right? Symbols are representations of truth. So think of it like this. I always felt like if you're not married before you get married, you'll never be married. Thank you. Right? If you don't have the relationship, the connection way before you do some nuptials, it's never going to happen. For most people, going to marriage is like going to jail. And the first thing you do when you get in jail is you want to get out.
It could be.
You spend your whole marriage trying to figure out how the hell to get out of this.
Well, I think when we did our vows,
yeah,
it's like I literally said two sentences and good. I was done.
Yeah.
And Nestor had just read The Road Less Traveled.
Mm-hmm.
And what he just said very concisely, he kind of like went on and on and on.
I was like, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage.
And I wanted the wedding to be
live from New York.
Yeah, I was always confused by the till death do us part. You know, it's like, okay, I don't like you anymore, so I got to kill you.
Well,
I got to get rid of you.
That speaks to the level of commitment. That speaks to the level of commitment that, which I have to say that we have not been happy, Rosemary and I, 100% all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
then you would be dead.
We've struggled. We fought. We've been separated. We've gone through all sorts of shit. But the one thing I will say is that we've been dedicated, right? Committed, in a sense. Committed to the relationship, right? Committed to working it out. I think that we both come from loyal backgrounds. Like, you know, I like you. You're my boy. I'm loyal. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what happens, and the reason that people... if there's a should in the world, like should get married, if they're meant to get married, is that there is a spiritual connection.
Absolutely.
So all of this material display has
empty. Nothing to do with it.
Because it's a spiritual connection. So when you have a spiritual connection with somebody, whether it's a husband, whether it's a friend, you don't just throw that away and you don't just lose it. So even when a friend pisses you off, you know, you have this like lifetime like commitments to relationships.
I agree with you. And see, the interesting thing is perfection is death.
Right.
Right. When anything becomes perfect, it stops.
Right.
And so life is really about chasing that which is imperfect.
Right.
Right. And it's the ups and downs that make us move. It's the ups and downs that give us life and give us a reason.
Well, I think that could be a statement for why it's okay to have these big extravagant weddings, because those people are going through a hell of a roller coaster getting that event
perfect,
together.
Though. See, but they're trying to present
this perfect
picture.
If they can survive that,
right?
It takes them a year to plan these things.
Oh, absolutely.
If they can survive that, maybe they deserve to be married.
And then another 10 years of pay.
Yeah, but people don't even plan it. Now they hire.
Right.
People are fucking pussies. Now they hire. Remember back in the day, our parents planned their fucking wedding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're gonna sit on that plastic covered couch and shut the fuck up. And you're gonna go get some water. Okay? You're gonna sprinkle it. I mean, now you hire somebody.
Because everybody gets hired, you know?
Now you hire somebody.
That's why it's so expensive.
That's why it's so expensive.
$30,000 to plan your wedding.
And you go, I like those flowers, and I like that, and all that.
There was this chick, the hotel we're staying at, this resort. Let me tell you something. This place was ridiculous, okay, per night. They had the day we were checking out, for the next 5 days, every single room was taken by a wedding. Okay? Wow. There was a fucking chick there, little white chick from the Upper East Side of Manhattan. That's what she looked like, with red hair. I think she was related to Rich. And she's got her fucking MacBook Pro. And this fucking big gorilla-looking fuck comes up, and they're sitting next to each other, and they're discussing the right on the fucking beach. I'm having my breakfast. I swear to God, I wanted to say, excuse me, could you close your fucking laptop? I don't want to see the laptop. I want to see the ocean.
Right.
Right? But then I'm hearing her. She's actually a wedding planner. I thought she was one of these. Anyway, it's just ridiculous.
I just want to read this because I don't know if this is still, these people are still married, but I imagine maybe they are. It says the most expensive wedding on record was the 1981 marriage of Abu Dhabi's Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. I probably said that all wrong. And yeah. Princess Salama, a 7-day affair that cost more than $100 million. To accommodate all the invited guests, the Sheikh built a 20,000 seat stadium.
Is that adjusted dollars?
Is that what I gave you?
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was that?
Is that adjusted dollars?
I don't know.
Is that a what?
But here, you know what?
It's a new article, so I would.
This is new. This is. Hey, here's the deal.
When you have that much money, that's cool. Fine. You know, because you have that much money, it employs people.
No, maybe
good for
you donated the stadium.
Exactly. You know, fine. Do whatever. You got that much money. But here's the thing. You spend $70,000 on a wedding and you can't afford that. And then that's you spend different. The next 5 years trying to pay that shit off. Then you're going to be to each other's throats. Right. It's going to make the marriage that much harder. You know, there's no like, you know, planning, and I don't know. And then maybe you're right. Maybe if you can live through that, paying that $70,000 off for the next 5 or 10 years or whatever, you can, after you guys yell at each other, then maybe it's good for the, you know, it's the number one
cause of divorce, I think, is money, finances.
One of the big things you can't fight is for especially many women in America, they're raised with this idea of what their wedding is going to be. Yeah. And sometimes if you don't do that, the consequence of not having done that, it's probably insurmountable as well. So you got to sort of find this medium, right?
I don't know. I never wanted that. I just wanted that little moment on the knees.
Right, right. And that can still happen, by the way.
Okay, you guys didn't see that, but if you go to SkidRowStudios.com, seriously, if you go to SkidRowStudios.com, there'll be a link, which, by the way, you can watch the show live. It's being videotaped. So that's on video camera right there. Rosemary just threw something at me, which she's basically reiterating that she wants me to get on my knees.
No. Okay, well, that's okay.
No problem. I'll work on that. Anyway, so weddings are expensive. Divorce is even more expensive.
But I think the divorce rate in America is like out of control.
Well, because
I think it's like 70. It's way up.
Because like anything, we live in a disposable society. Right. It's like, you don't like the color of the headphone? Buy another one. The same thing can be, again, you think you can apply that to everything in your life.
Yeah.
People, friendships, relationships, business partners. You know, nothing's sacred anymore. So it's
but
just
how
like,
about yesterday? What happened yesterday?
What happened?
Are we going to talk about what happened yesterday?
Tell me what happened yesterday. Maybe I forgot. Maybe I was
what happened in California?
Oh, hold up. What happened yesterday? What happened yesterday? That's what we're going to... Oh, you giving me a segue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, shit.
I don't want to leave marriage.
That's called she's a director, pal.
My girl. Oh, you don't know.
She's keeping you on script.
Oh, you don't know. She doesn't... You don't know. You have no idea. I talk about stuff. She's not listening. Everything in her life is like cut. Jump cut, smash to the dishes. Pan out, dishwasher. Extreme close-up to the dishwashing liquid. And pull out. It's everything is a fucking direction. I'm gonna call the fucking Directors Guild of America to come to my house and be like, is she supposed to be directing me in my own house?
Yeah, all right, that happens.
I'm gonna call the Screen Actors Guild and be like, am I supposed to be getting residuals for this? Unbelievable. No, yesterday, it wasn't yesterday, it was June 26th. Was that yesterday? No. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday. It was yesterday.
Eastern Central.
It was yesterday. It was June 26th. It was, Big up to California, you fucks! Liberal motherfuckers! Big up! That's right. The Supreme Court rulings mark bold advance for gay marriage by striking down part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. For those of you that don't know, the DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, and allowing gay marriage in California, justices suggest that a constitutional endorsement may be next. So basically, this is amazing. This is good stuff. We'll go back, do a little history on this whole thing. DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, it was enacted in September 21, 1996. It's a United States federal law that allows states to refuse to recognize same-sex marriages performed under the laws of other states. Until a portion of the Act, Section 3, was ruled unconstitutional in 2013, is what happened, the culmination of what happened yesterday. DOMA, in conjunction with various other statutes, had also effectively barred same-sex married couples from being recognized as spouses for purposes of federal laws or receiving federal marriage benefits. So basically, What that federal law said that just because you got married in one state that allowed same-sex marriages did not mean that another state that didn't had to acknowledge your marriage. That's one thing. The other thing is that the federal government did not necessarily acknowledge just because you were married as a married spouse as a straight man and wife. So the difference being domestic partner and married partner, meaning having the same meaning. In other words, not the same meaning as a heterosexual marriage.
Well, but that was the thing. DOMA defined marriage as marriage between a man and a woman.
Right.
And it used the word heterosexual.
Right.
And so the justices said that that was
unconstitutional. Right.
You're giving a definition to what this thing is.
Right.
And that the 15th and the 14th Amendment protects against defining someone outside of a federal
thing. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So for instance, people who were allowed to get married in the short window of time in 2008 in California, they weren't recognized as a married couple, right. spouses.
Right.
They were domestic partners as far as the federal government was concerned. And a lot of them, all of them were denied federal benefits, federal rights to Social Security benefits, you know, whatever a heterosexually married couple is entitled to.
Yes, yeah, so, but to me, the hypocrisy of this whole thing is that America was founded on this notion of the separation between church and state.
Right.
The reason
the Pilgrims
came here is because they didn't want religious persecution.
Right.
Well, the only reason that people don't want gay marriage is religious.
Right.
It has no it has no biological, no foundational, there's no economic, there's no political reason. The only reason is
religion.
A Judeo-Christian religious perspective, which again, what is the infusion of the church and state.
I don't know, the people came here for religious freedom. I think they came to do things their way.
No, they came for religious freedom. They were being persecuted.
Right, but they came
left
here
Europe and went to Dutch.
Yes.
And then they left. They were running from the Catholic Church.
Right, but then they came here not to have freedom for other people. They came here to do things their way.
The Puritans
that's
and the Catholics
came
here to do it the same way.
So we're still trying to do things our way.
But it was absolutely the whole idea, the dialogue, the rhetoric was this idea that the government should never be able to control
how people
express themselves.
Well,
when it comes to religion.
You guys are saying the same thing.
Different colonies and Roger Smith, like people, because they wanted to do their own religious thing.
Right.
It wasn't about we'll just live and let live.
Right.
You guys are saying the same thing.
My point is that, but when you look at the Constitution and where it's constructed, it was constructed by the idea that the government should not encroach on people's religious freedoms, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But the problem with this is that the only reason why there's a problem with gay marriage is religion.
Yeah.
So marriage is regulated by the state.
It's religion encroaching on people's legal freedom.
Right. And what's interesting? The first state.
Right.
To allow same-sex marriages
we've never been
was Massachusetts. Separation.
Absolutely.
It never.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Let me just say, it just seems like the hypocrisy of the same people who don't want abortion because of religion or stem cell research or you know, these are the same people that don't want big government to come in and fuck with your shit. At the same time, you know, it's just such a shitty hypocrisy and they can't just, you know, and they talk about it and they're the first ones to accuse people for flip-flopping or for not being one side or the other. And they just use government, you know, to push their own issues.
Exactly.
Anyway, listen, we're going to wrap this up a little bit here, but let me give you some of the history, okay? DOMA was initially introduced by Republicans in May 1996. DOMA passed both houses of Congress by large majorities and was signed into law by President Bill Clinton in September of 1996 by defining spouse and its related terms for federal purposes to signify a heterosexual couple in a recognized marriage, like you said, Leslie. Section 3 thereby codified non-recognition of same-sex marriages for all federal purposes, including insurance benefits for government employees, Social Security survivors, benefits, immigration, bankruptcy, and the filing of joint tax returns, as well as excluding same-sex spouses from the scope of laws protecting families of federal officers, laws evaluating financial aid eligibility, and federal ethics laws applicable to opposite sex spouses. So, you know, this thing is about, like, not only, like, can gay same-sex couple marry or not, but it's about also, okay, just because you're married doesn't mean you're equal to us anyway,
right?
From a federal point of view. So this is a big deal. Well, you know, there was a all right. So yeah,
I wish we spoke about other things as much as we speak about this stuff, because it should just be a given that people get to marry who they want.
Absolutely,
that they have that right.
No, absolutely.
And then we should be talking about more important issues. It's important for people to get married to who they want, but I'm saying it's a deflection for, like, real things that could be decided and could be, you know, we're fighting wars, we're doing all kinds of stuff, fracking, like all kinds of stuff that threatens everything. We're talking about trying to prohibit people from getting married.
But because, you know, our world, right, our country, our world is designed to do a three-card Monty game. You were mentioning something earlier before the show started.
The Voting Rights Act.
The Voters' Rights Act.
Right.
So, you know, you have an explosion over here, right? And while that explosion's going on and everyone's around going, ooh, ah, someone's over there, a nice group of people are over there doing some other shit. Mm-hmm. And so there's always a game of whack-a-mole going on where you hit something else pops up over there, and there's too many fucking things going on. And at the same time, no one's paying attention to anything anyway, because we have low attention spans in this fucking, in this society, in our world, with all the gadgets, all the fucking lights and the bells and the whistles and
but
all the shit
true.
That's going on.
It's like
on.
Gay marriage, abortion. These are religious issues.
Absolutely.
These are not political issues.
No, they're not.
This is what we spend most of our time talking shit about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But, you know, it's the interesting thing, and I don't know if you've ever been to a country that's governed by religion, such as an Islamic country or something like that. And you find, and we look at those countries and say, oh, man, in an Islamic country, women have burqas on. Mm-hmm. Or they can't drive. They don't have these. But these are laws that are based in their religious beliefs. And while we sort of sit and critique that situation, we're sort of in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same thing. We're saying what people can't do based on religious views, mm-hmm. which to me is just... I would have thought we would have matured as a country.
No.
Further.
No.
Yeah.
No, because what happens is, that's a perfect example. You take 3 steps forward, and then you take 10 steps back. This is a perfect example, this gay marriage thing in California. I mean, historically, in 2004, right, were the first couples that were allowed to get married in San Francisco. In 2004, okay? Then... the push and pull went on, it disappeared, or you weren't able
That's
to
9 years ago.
You weren't able to get married. No, in 2008, it came back again for like 3 months, from like June to November. Then they fucking, under the guise of some other bullshit, they slid in Proposition 8, and they took away fucking rights that people had already fought. Mm-hmm. That's like saying, you know what, we made a mistake. The slaves, they're no longer free. It's like, you're already fucking, how do you go back? I'm thinking to myself, how do you say you can get married, okay, and then, not again. And so these people are fighting for this again. So now they're able to get married again. But the big issue is now, the big issue is that from a federal point of view, right, for the constitutional rights for same-sex couples to be recognized, because that's really the ultimate thing. Because this is about equal rights.
Right.
It's about equal rights for everybody. Not fucking white, black. I mean, we're all human
beings. Everybody should have the right to fuck up their life.
I want... But that joke's already been done, by the way. How many comedians have you heard that joke? Hey, right? You should let gay people get married. They should have the right to fuck up their life. That's a joke that's been done. But that's good.
I think... You know, this is all great and everything, but what about the single people? The single people who didn't get married, we don't get shit. Why when you get married, is that like, well, you got married, sorry, here's your little...
But you have your freedom.
Yeah. Well, so I have my freedom, I choose
not to get married or to get married.
What? I don't get married, so I don't get anything?
But you know? I was having a conflict, and I'll never forget this. I was in college, and I was having a conflict about America, right? Because I was looking at the time I was in college, you had apartheid in South Africa, and I had a conversation with an ambassador. His name was Ambassador Perkins. And Ambassador Perkins was the ambassador that was appointed to try to help bring down apartheid in South Africa. And to me, he was hypocritical, right? And so I had been writing him letters and stuff while I was in college and doing raw writing. And when he came to Los Angeles, he came over to USC and he had lunch with me. He says, I want to sit down and have a conversation with you. And so my question to him was, look, you're fighting for apartheid in South Africa, and we got racism and all kind of shit going on in America. You know, I mean, it's bullshit, right? This is my perspective. And he said something to me that's very profound that gave me a tremendous respect for America. Mm-hmm. He said, America, while it has all of its problems and its problems, there's one thing that this country has that no other country does, and that is, in the Constitution of the United States is the promise that you can fight to make it a better country. And you have the opportunity to have this fight.
Well, that's where the hope is.
Yeah, because in many other countries, you know, I sat back and watched Ahmadinejad last year say that there's nobody gay in Iran.
Right.
And there's 60 million people there.
Right.
Like, how can you have 60 million people and no one is gay? Mm-hmm. So imagine what happens to a gay person.
Mm. You know. And fight we will. On that note, I want to give a big up to Edith Windsor, okay? Big the fuck up to Edith Windsor! What's up, mama? Yeah, she was one of the people who sued.
Oh, okay.
She was one of the people who sued. The ruling on the federal law was a victory with practical consequences for more than 100,000 gays and lesbians who are already legally married, including Edith Windsor. She's one of them. I think there's two or three couples that fought to amend this.
Well, she's the main person, right? She was with a woman.
She's the main one. She's the main one, including Edith Windsor, an 83-year-old New York widow who brought the case. She sued to challenge the federal law after Thea Spire, her female spouse, died. Under the decision, the Internal Revenue Service must refund $363,000 in estate taxes, plus interest assessed on the property they own together.
There's a documentary about them that's great. Their whole relationship, they're amazing.
I had to survive Thea, what a glorious way to do it, said Windsor, who lived with Spire for more than 40 years. The court's decision will have ramifications for people of all ages. She said, I think it's the end of teenagers falling in love and not thinking that there's their term. Not thinking that there's a future for them. For those that don't know, we're not going to get too crazy into it, but basically, you and I own property. right? If one of us passes, the other person incurs 50% of the value of the house. We're married. Mm-hmm. The federal government says that we have a credit, right, up to $400,000, let's say. Anything value over $400,000, I have to pay tax on that, right? In other words, if our property is worth more than $800,000, anything over that, I'll have to pay taxes on. But we're legally spouses. We're married. These two, they're married. They're married legally, mm-hmm. but under the DOMA fucking thing, they weren't recognized as spouses. So she survived her fucking spouse. She had to pay all this $363,000 in property taxes and assessment fees and all that shit. And she sued that if she wasn't, if they were recognized as legal spouses, she wouldn't have to pay that. It's wrong. It's discriminatory. Do you know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's what set off the whole thing, and she won. And so you know what?
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah.
On that note.
Yeah.
Watch the Oops.
Pause for station identification.
quickly. There's people on both sides of this issue,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is the kind of issue, you know, when you think about Rome exploding, imploding from the inside, right? When you think about civil war, there are some people in this country that have their feet dug in. They're entrenched on this idea that gays shouldn't get married. Do you think this is an issue that can create such a divide in America that it moves the country in the wrong direction?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I think it's going to move the country in the right direction. That's what I think. I think that more than not, I mean, we're talking about, you know, maybe our parents, if it was our parents and this happened in their time period, maybe it would have caused a divide, right? I'm thinking now people are tired of this bullshit. I think for the most part, I think people, my opinion, I mean, you may have your own opinion, but I think people are tired of it. I mean, do you know any gay people?
Of course.
Of course. Do you know any gay people?
No, of course. Of course.
Who, do you know anybody who doesn't know any gay people?
I think part of the reason, it just occurred to me, I think part of the reason we talk, I don't think it's a strong enough issue to divide us, because I think we have evolved spiritually as a country. I believe we
enough,
have.
Enough.
It may be two steps forward, one step back, but we keep going in the right direction. And there is always hope, because there is always debate going on here.
Right.
And there's a lot of enthusiasm for that kind of discussion. However, I think a lot of the reasons why we end up having these kind of conversations over and over and over is because it's set up, again, just like the Hollywood system, just to bring it around, is like it's set up to be so complicated.
Yeah.
The legal system, the government,
the real estate, the banking system. Wording, yeah.
It's so complicated.
Yeah.
And none of us, even people within banking, I mean, when the whole bubble collapses, nobody can even tell you what really happened.
Right.
So that leaves people like us, working class people,
saying,
what do we talk about except each other?
That leaves people like us saying, fuck it, I'll get married. My life is fucked up already anyway. Fuck it. That's what it
does. Thanks. 20 years of this shit.
I think you better get on your knees.
No. I was just doing a callback on your fucking bit joke.
That's right. Anyone listening to this show knows what I've been living with for 20 years. That's all right.
Yeah. No, I think that seriously, I am happy and less, I feel lighter knowing that this was passed. It's not enough. I think that it has to go to another level.
I get that in California, but when you get down to the Bible Belt, Alabama, Tennessee, mm-hmm. these places that Christianity
right.
has a stronghold, right?
Mm-hmm.
They believe that this is an abomination.
I'm sure they do.
And so
they voted for George Bush, too.
Absolutely. It's my point.
So,
but what I'm saying is that just in thinking, when I'm thinking about the bigger picture of things, right? I'm always wondering, how is this affecting those people down there? How are they dealing with this, right? We know we're way more liberal out here than they are in those places, but that Bible Belt place.
So do you think it's such a bubble? Like, L.A.'s in its own bubble.
Right,
like,
exactly.
We forget about,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times we're like, man, why isn't the world just more like this, you know? Like,
Mid-America is still Mid-America.
But I think there are teenagers in the Midwest. There are people that are suffering mm-hmm. that live far from where we live.
Right.
And that every little thing that happens like this gives them a little seed to keep going where they can't wait to, you know, either get away from home or try to be who they are. And everything gives them hope. And I think it spreads because everyone does have YouTube. Everyone can have access to these things. Yeah. Even if you have a computer, you can go to the library and watch stuff. Right. Like there's always ways to like know that there's somebody like me out there somewhere. And I think that sort of pokes through the
media too, though, like shows, Glee or Modern Family. I mean, it's awesome that they're, you know, they have the subject matter in there because it does become, it makes things a little bit more normal.
Accessible.
You know,
that
accessible. Yeah, so there are gay people here, you know, that, you know, in the Bible Belt. Oh, there's no gay people.
Yeah, but it's easy to see something on TV and make fun of it as opposed to, you know, something like that being in your backyard, like you're saying in Alabama Bible Belt. But I think that, you know, yeah, there are a lot of people that are in that area, in those areas of our country going, this is bullshit. There are. I mean, a lot of the Congress people that were involved in this whole thing, a lot of them were like, they were up in arms for this whole thing. So, but I think that, you know, I think we're, like Rosemary said, three steps forward, two steps back, but then we're still inching up little by little. You know what I mean?
Absence of this dialogue about that the whole dialogue is not taking place. See, because I think that's how disease grows. It festers somewhere, right?
Right.
And when it's in the darkness and you're not bringing light to the fact that, you know what I mean? Boom, you got cancer. And so when you think about Proposition 8 and 52% of California voted.
Right. You know, To pass it,
like that's not. I mean, that's a huge percentage.
But I don't think they voted for it to pass it, like consciously. But
it's a lot of church. Yeah, but people.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm not trying to be on their side.
No. But it's all right. It's a conversation. We beat the shit out of you, even if you're big. We fuck you up in here.
I don't know where this will go, but also though. There are a lot of people that are much older that have more of a voice that are talking against gay marriage and all that. And as these fuckers start to die, you know, and as people become a little, maybe, you know, okay, their children might not be, you know, I hope my daughter doesn't, you know, become gay, but, you know, they're not going to freak out and make bills and they're not going to stand up and all that. Like maybe, you know, the older folks are. As these people start dying down and the people that are more,
open-minded.
Or they've been more,
accepting?
No, they've been more, I don't know. What's the word? When their
consciousness is higher.
So when they see it around them, they're a little more
exposed.
Exposed. Sorry, exposure. I'm like,
I was about to call in for a vowel.
Jesus Christ.
But you know, to that point.
Exposed, motherfuckers.
To that point,
that's
it was
why
great
I don't talk much.
Because the great Magic Johnson came out a couple of months ago and said his son is gay.
Uh-huh.
Right. And when his son had to come to him at 14 years old and say, he said he sort of knew about it, you know, and in his interview, he's talking about
he noticed the G strings and the purple socks.
So he confronted his son and his son said, yeah, I'm gay. And Magic said, you know, and that's my son. And I still love my son.
Right.
And I will still do everything I can. And Magic is, you know, a great physical basketball professional superstar. But he has a gay son.
Right.
You know, and you have to deal with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and that's going to change his views on a lot of things.
I think everybody should have a gay son. And then everyone's perspective on this whole thing would change.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because then if your son was gay, I guarantee you would not fight tooth and nail till the death.
That's actually not true. I don't think that's true.
That's my opinion. Well,
there's a lot of people that have gay children and they actually don't accept them.
At all. And do you think that they will leave this planet not accepting them?
I do.
You do.
There are people like that. And I know people like that have parents like that.
That's sad.
And that they kind of get disowned.
There was a kid on, I think it was like America's Got Talent.
I mean, if you believe that people, if you're gay, you're going to burn in hell, that's what you believe.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, but go ahead. Sorry.
There was a kid on America Got Talent, and he was talking to the judges, and they said, well, you know, he's from Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm.
And they said, well, do you live at home? And he said, no. And, you know, he just looked like a regular guy. He said, well, what happened? You and your parents don't get along? He said, well, no, I'm gay, and my family don't believe in that stuff. So when I got 18, they kicked me out the house.
Wow.
You know? And he goes on to sing. He's got an opera voice, and he's fabulous singing, right? But that's a reality down there in Memphis, Tennessee, in that Bible Belt, right? Mm-hmm. You kick your son out the house.
But that's why I was saying it's so important to, like, see that on TV. Like, you have access enough where even 10 years ago, you didn't have that sort of thing to even say, wow, somebody like there, somebody out there exists.
Exists, exactly.
So that's why I don't think it'll ever set us back that far.
And then it might be more social, it will be less socially acceptable to think that way. You may, you know, you might not actually act on it. You may, those people will end up having to repress their feelings about how it, you know, and just kind of let them live their lives and stop being, you know, so shitty about it. It's like getting in other people's lives about it. Who the fuck cares what you do and who you have sex with and all that? It's not your fucking business, you know? And the more people, when it becomes less socially acceptable but to be vocal about it.
So judgmental,
yeah. Yeah, and judgmental and all that. Because, you know, and it took a long time for all of this, through all of the bullshit that the United States have gone through with slavery and the what it was, the riots in 69 in New York. You know, I mean, that those were...
Well, I think that's what becomes insidious, though, when you talk about festering. Because then people are afraid to be as vocal about it, but it still exists.
But it still exists.
So then where does it end up coming out? I mean, that's sort of
then
what you're saying.
Then those motherfuckers can die, and then...
Which is,
or you have a discussion. Like, one of the things that discussion does, it allows you to sort of get stuff out in the
open. It allows you to see who has some fucked up thoughts about shit that you thought they didn't have.
There you go.
And you trick them. You trick them and shit. You trick them. Wow, you trick them. You trick them like you make believe like you're into this shit. And then you're like, this motherfucker, he really believes this shit.
Right. You never knew I wanted you on your knees.
Never did.
See? There you
never
go.
Did.
You tricked me.
I'm going to be on my fucking knees. I'm going to drop to my knees in the morning. I'm going to drop to my knees. You're going to be like, what happened? Are you all right? Nope, I'm on my knees. Okay, well, listen, look. We've had a fucking long-ass show, so what we're going to do is this. I'm going to cut this into two fucking episodes.
You
might have to do three.
No, this is like, we're almost
going
on.
We're 2.5 hours.
No, we're almost going on three. I'm going to knock this into two. So let's say our goodbyes. Leslie, your movie is coming out July 3rd?
Yes, July 3rd, nationwide.
Let me explain. Kevin Hart. Lionsgate?
Lionsgate.
2,000 theaters?
Yes, sir.
Nice. That's
some
beautiful.
Some agent better wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Give Leslie
what the
a call.
Fuck?
I can't even get it.
What the fuck? That just tells you, guys, if you're out there and you're thinking about killing yourselves, don't do it. Here's a man that's got everything going for him and he still can't get an agent. Don't jump yet. There's still time. There's about 40 minutes left to the day. Don't do it. Rosemary Rodriguez, what do you got going on, homegirl? First of all, we didn't even talk about the fact that you were voted in as a national member of the DGA, the national board of the DGA. So what are you going to do? You going to kick some ass there?
We're definitely going to kick ass.
You going to kick some ass, you and Paris?
We'd be more inclusive. All of us at the DGA, we're all going to lead the path, be collaborative, bring in new people, get stuff going.
I heard, change
of the guard.
Yep. I heard that you're going to get Kimberly Pierce to be one of my guests here.
Well, I haven't asked her yet.
Oh, you haven't yet? Well, no. Kimberly Pierce is going to come on my show.
Well, she kicks ass.
Oh, Kimberly Pierce is fucking dope. Big up, Kimberly Pierce! Yeah, Kimberly Pierce kicks ass. Rosemary
boys
said to me...
Boys don't cry on the subject that we're talking about.
Yeah, boys don't cry. Yep, exactly. Nice segue there, huh?
Always.
We were talking about yesterday about that, and she happens to be half Puerto Rican. She was brought up by her stepfather, who's Puerto Rican. Who knew? Huh? Mommy, what's up? Yeah. And what's up with you, Jamal?
How you doing, man?
Jamal.
You just fucking up my name tonight, aren't you?
Jamal. I keep saying Jamal.
Jamal.
What'd I say, Jamal?
You said Jamal.
Hey, can we cut this out, this part? Jamal.
Right.
What are you up to, Jamal?
Right now, I'm working for...
Besides getting the fuck out, we kicking your ass out of the stage for correcting me four... No, go ahead.
Oh, good. You can walk home now.
No, what are you doing? I mean, you got something going on.
Yeah, well, right now I'm in grad school at Temple. I'm working for Rosemary as her assistant, trying to pick her brain on everything.
Nice.
All her knowledge that she knows.
Yeah, nice.
And try to turn that around to something.
Nice.
I'm at the beginning of where these two are at right now.
You're
so.
At the beginning of where these guys want to jump off and kill themselves.
Hopefully without the killing themselves part.
Nah.
So. Don't do it, man! Don't do it! And Rich, what's up, baby? What's going on?
What's going
you're
on?
You're still chilling? You're still lubricating that sexy throat of yours or what?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what expose means.
Exposure.
No, you know what? I'm right in the middle of working on a pitch and all that for my web series. So yeah,
that's like one of Kevin Hart's jokes when you're trying to explain something to your kid.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to explain it. Okay, that's one of his jokes. It's like, shut the fuck up, go do your homework. Anyway, thanks for listening in. We had Leslie Small, Rosemary Rodriguez, Jamel Northern.
Thank you.
Rich Corbin, and of course, yours truly, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Nestorius. Thanks a lot for tuning into Nestorius Public Radio. Check us out on NestoriusPublicRadio.com, Facebook, Nestorius Public Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Nestorius NYC, and check us out every Thursday night, 10 p.m., 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call us. Fucking tell your friends about it. Download us. Get bigged up.
Shit, so y'all gotta encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta encourage